Hey, everybody, I'm Jody Bounce.
And I'm George Affleck.
And it's time for...
Just Keep Swimming, Just Keep Swimming. Unspun.
I'm so sad. And I'm mad.
But also not surprised.
No, not surprised. And yet I held out hope. And actually, we're talking about Kit's pool. Like my favorite thing on the planet, the thing I missed more than my family when I lived in Ontario. Like I'm literally and legitimately together, I would swim at Kit's pool every single day from the day it opened to the day it closed seasonally. I'd do a mile a day. That was my thing. Yep. I love it. I miss it. I literally started doing Pilates in the last year because I couldn't get into Kit's pool. I've had 3 swims in that pool in the last 4 years. And that makes me sad. So I could rant on that all day. But the issue here, they say it's been cleaned, it's been filled, it's still leaking. And now they can't get the chemicals right in order to make it, you know, safe for the public to swim in it or whatever. What do you see here? What's the spin here, George?
Well, I mean, let's face it. It's the park board and the city. It depends on who you ask who's in charge of this. I'm a bit confused by that, actually. It's just incompetence. I don't know how this is possible. You know, we've known that this pool's had a challenge for a long time. I don't know why it would take so long to fix a pool. It's closed for 8 months of the year. Come on. What's going on?
And it was redone. It was redone pre-pandemic. It had a massive tent over it. They were working on it. I could go on and on. I love this pool. I watch every single thing that happens with it. It is mismanagement at all levels. I got park board and former park board people coming at me right now on social media because they're like, it's the city's fault. I'm like, you know what the problem is here, George? And I'll take it away from the pool and away from that specific subject. Mm-hmm. And point to this as precisely the reason we don't need those layers of government. Because now everybody's pointing like this. And you know what? If we didn't have one, there'd only be one to blame. There would be no confusion as to whose job it is to have that iconic jewel of our city that is checking every box, outdoor, fitness, child-friendly, life-saving life skill, teaching children to swim at Kit's pool. In beautiful style, affordable. It used to be $1. It used to be under $1 to get in there. And it's just an absolute travesty that this has been allowed to fall into disrepair because of climate change. For God's
sake. Or if you're
me,
swim naked in the middle of the night for free.
Then you get banned for life.
Then you get chased by the cops, but naked. But that's not talking about that.
I would have paid money to have video of you being chased by the cops. Well, I don't need. I'd blur out your butt, but.
Pre-dash cams in cop cars, thank God. Because that would have been.
Was it worth it?
Yeah, we had fun. Well, I mean, we were on special substances that night. So, you know, it was the 80s.
It was indeed.
We don't have to talk about that. I think I've already told everybody at the world about that now that they can.
You have. Hey, let's bounce around to municipal.
You're right, though. Like, just on to your point, I just think this is just shows you the fact that I can't figure out who's in charge of this pool anymore. Shows you how misgoverned this whole thing is. And if nobody is responsible and everybody's responsible, then nothing gets done. Then that's where
we're unreal.
At.
And the whole like, well, the park board budget was cut. And that's why it's like.
That's what. I don't think anybody's going to complain if we go over budget on that line item.
Right. And not to mention the fact that how much park board revenue from parking was sacrificed in the name of that bike velodrome in Stanley Park. How many people did not drive down to Stanley Park and plug a meter and every single one of those dollars to the park board? How much revenue gone because of a pet project?
I still haven't seen the total amount of money they spent renting cones, by the way, for that bike route.
How do we get that? Can we ask for that?
Bob Mackin, where are you? Get on that.
Bob Mackin. I know you're watching, Bob. You love Unspun. You love it. There's so many people who secretly watch our podcast, George. It's funny. Let's talk about, speaking of secrets.
Yes.
Is there a secret budget going on in City Hall? Or?
Well, I saw you. This is my Pete Fry, City Councilor of Vancouver. Pete Fry, Green Party, tweeted out there's a motion about increasing a budget. So I'm not sure much of a secret, but I do know this, that the budget for the mayor's office hasn't gone down since Ken Sim got elected. And in fact, now, based on this motion that Pete Fry shared on Twitter or X, it's going up. And I think people know where I stand on this issue. I've been speaking, even when I was in council, I thought the budget for the mayor's office was highly bloated. And
I forgot my cocktail because we could have done the 40 right. communications people we started
well,
doing.
Yeah, well, the mayor's office alone, I don't even know what's going on in there. But so what, you know, here's a party that is now in charge of two budgets that, you know, the highest tax increases in the history of the city. And he's asking for more money for his office. Is that, I hope that person's job is to cut the budget. Cause that's the only
the tweet that you're, the tweet that you're referencing from, Pete Fry, Councillor Fry, highlighting Mayor Sims' ever-growing secretive office budget. Coming recommendation to reallocate money from public service to political staff in mayor's office. Sim has spent more and showed up less than any mayor predecessor.
Yeah, that's two statements there that are interesting. First off, it is secretive because you don't really, you get a kind of a line item of, you don't get told exactly what everybody's doing. I was never even invited into the mayor's office when I was in council, but let alone know the details. So there's that, but his other comment, I don't know if we have to verify that. I don't know where Pete got that about the worst attendance or is that council meetings? Is that, what does that mean? That's quite a statement. And I think he needs to qualify that. I don't know what that means, but if that's true, if he's saying that this guy's not showing up to meetings, to official meetings,
here it is, adding that Sims' attendance record at council and various boards has so far been worse than any mayor in recent history, which begs the question, who is doing the work in the mayor's office and who's paying for it? And the reference material is bctvnews.ca, so CTV, and this is dated March 15th, 2024. Here's how many times Vancouver's mayor has been absent from a vote at council. And it lays out, you know, it's kind of like keeping track of, you know, who's going golfing and who's doing.
But I need to see the councils to see where it stands, if that's true. Clearly not showing up is something that's happening, and that's not cool either. So you want more money and you want to show up less. Great. That sounds like good governance.
What about this infrastructure falling into disrepair and corporate sponsorships? Where do you fall on that?
I'm
Kids
a big fan.
Brought to you by
Whole
Foods.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, I mean, if the taxpayers want a break, they got to find some money and you want this stuff taken care of. But we do vote on capital budgets every election, and we've never voted against the capital budgets in an election. So people are in this city are willing to commit to the capital cost. So just so people, I like to always reiterate, there's the operating budget and then there's a capital budget. The operating budget's day-to-day operations, what it costs to do, run the city, pay the staff. Capital is building things, building a pool or rebuilding a pool, for example.
Right. Again.
Building a bike lane, you know, all about building a bridge, that kind of stuff. And
one's policing? That's the big one.
Policing would be operating, but if policing want to buy a bunch of police cars, then cop cars, and that's capital. So
it's
different.
It's very confusing.
It is confusing. So if you turn the ballot over when you're voting on the backside.
Oh, I do. And it reads like a math problem in high school where you know they're trying to fool you.
Yeah, when you see two things in two different sections, like there's like three votes and you're like, but why is that over there and that's there? And
if a train is traveling 200 kilometers an hour from point A to point B,
exactly.
Do you want one that goes to Langley for $5 billion?
Yes.
Right? Yes. Yes, I do. I think I could get past the corporate sponsorship thing. Maybe it's the promo girl in me. I'm so used to everything being sponsored anyway. Like, we're literally seeing sponsorships on the back side of the pitching mound in the major leagues. Like, sell everything if that means that the taxpayer burden can be eased to some extent. Oh, got to mention the Bank of Canada rate cut and signaling that more to come. So
I just locked in. God.
Did you?
Well, I had to, but I had no choice. I had to make a decision, but I got a good rate.
Oh, good.
I think they saw this coming. So
what'd you get? Can I ask?
Five.
Is that allowed? 5%? Not bad.
Yeah. So it's not a huge jump. So it's manageable. I don't
at least your budget, right? Now you know for 5 years where you're going to be at.
Yeah, I don't like this open. Unless it's like, there's an advantage of your, you know, if it's at 2%. But when you're at 7% or 9%, floating, no thanks. And I just like to know my predictable costs per month. And I think is that obviously I'm lucky because I've got a mortgage that's paid down. So the banks are like, okay, well, there's no risk here. So they give me a good rate. But I just think it's, you know, but it's great to go on down. I mean, I think that, is it far enough? We don't know, but will it inject, obviously real estate. I don't know if you saw that Steve Saretsky posted the worst May in 20 years for real estate sales.
I did see that. Sarah Daniels told me that as well. She said it was super, super slow. And then suddenly the uptick.
Oh yeah.
So like yeah, yesterday? It's starting again. Well, no, I think it was about, I want to say it was like 10 days ago that she said there was literally nothing. And then all of a sudden it started to move again and supply.
Well, at least there's 60,000 people moving here every year. 60,000 people move to the region.
Yeah.
Where are they living? They got to buy a place or rent a place. So
they absolutely do. Absolutely. Let's talk about provincial politics and health, really. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff we can unpack. We did chat a little bit about the big infrastructure costs ballooning last week. You know, the Broadway subway line is going to be pushed by a year and way more expensive. God only knows how much the Massey Tunnel is going to be. That could have been a bridge that was already open. It might not open till 2030 now, they're saying. At what cost? Richmond Hospital, that's news this week, is it's in the multi-billion range to upgrade that hospital. You got Surrey Hospital, you got the Patella Bridge. There's just, I'm starting to wonder if, you're going to laugh at me. I'm starting to wonder if political parties in power just come up with a number that people think maybe sounds about right. So it gets approved and then it costs whatever it costs. And then by the time it gets there, we're just like, whatever it takes to get this thing done. Right. I'm no longer paying attention to how much the Broadway subway line is. Just finish it.
Well, yeah. And then when you share the pain across the whole province, it's not so bad. You don't feel it as a tax burden. I bring this up all the time. And I live in a strata. The province requires that we put together a plan for 25 years of what we think is going to need building, how much that's going to cost, put a plan together, have a certain amount of money saved to do that. And there's no escaping this. We have to do it. It's a requirement. I don't understand why things like hospitals and schools, when they know the population growth, they know the way any future, you know, person who can predict future of migration and movement of population,
right,
they're very good at this job. Most people are really good at predicting where people will live in 10, 20, 30 years in the region.
Yeah.
But schools have this whole white of the, and transit, white of the eyes. Until they're there, we don't build it. Why?
Bizarre.
And the same goes for hospitals. And my belief is that you commit and that there's no politicizing of this. The population of Richmond is going to be this much in this many years. They're going to need this kind of hospital to deal with that. Yeah. So therefore, the budget for that hospital for over the next 25 years, we're going to put this much money into a hospital and into schools in whatever and into transit in order to deal and potentially social housing because of the population growth that is absolutely happening there. We know it's happening. It's happening. Therefore, we must plan for it. And we can't make this political. This cannot be. This is out of bounds. Out of bounds. You can't touch this. It's committed to. And there's no playing with this. And
social safety net.
Yes.
Social
safety
net. Schools, hospitals, housing those people who teach in schools and work in healthcare. Like that's pretty straightforward.
There should be no politicizing of this stuff.
It should.
Children's education and it's our healthcare.
Great wedge issue though.
Well, pavement politics, of course, is they call it for highways, but you can keep highways. You can build and not build highways as much as you want. How about that? Well, you can keep that one.
Right. Well, you taught, it was last week that you taught me that the reason why the highways, after being blown out by an atmospheric river, the reason they were rebuilt so quickly without any real discussion about cost, other than the fact that we need those highways, was that it was Trans Mountain who were on the hook to keep those. That was part of their deal.
Which is owned by the federal
government. I did not know that. And I still think if people, you know, there are so many things that we lay people don't know. You have been in politics for a long time. You understand it more than I do, which is why I like Unspun Podcast with you, George Affleck. How about this? All the pressure that Dr. Bonnie Henry, our provincial health officer, has been under for the past 4+ years now, guiding us through this COVID-19 pandemic perfectly? No. Better than most places in the world? Yes. Am I grateful for her? You know I am. I've told you this a bazillion times. And when people come at this woman, you know, I wonder, do you... You know, check yourselves, guys.
This reimagining of history, of COVID specifically. I'll give you a counter to this. The people who are going after Bonnie Henry, I will give you this and remind you of this. There's a guy named Donald Trump in America. And a lot of the same people who hate Bonnie Henry love Donald Trump, which is interesting. Guess who got the reason we got a cure for COVID? It's because of Donald Trump. He put together a strategy that underwrote private sector billions of dollars to get to a cure as fast as possible. That was Donald Trump, everybody. Because guess what was happening in March of 2020? We were freaking out. We were freaking out. Everybody was freaking out. We didn't know what this was. And we were making decisions very in the dark. And so Donald Trump was doing that. Bonnie Henry was doing her thing. Everybody was kind of trying to figure things out. To come back after 4 years and start attacking her for her choices, or Fauci this week in Congress.
Oh, my God. Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Reinventing the history. And I feel like going, excuse me, Marjorie. Donald Trump is the reason there's a cure for COVID. Just to dig it in there. It's like, yeah, he is? What? No, that can't be true. Yeah, he underwrote the whole process of underwriting the private sector to get out there and find it. They wouldn't
paying
have done
for a vaccine, paying for science,
vaccine, not
right. And then attacking it publicly to rally the base, fake news. We'll get to more fake news in a second. But first, yeah. I want to talk about here provincially, when it comes to people who are attacking Bonnie Henry and news today, actually this morning, I was listening to Premier Eby on CKNW talking with Simi about this new appointment of another provincial health officer that's specific to the mental health and addictions crisis in this province, Dr. Vigo. You're mm-hmm. going to be hearing his name a lot. He's a psychiatrist and very learned in this very specific lane. And this the targeting of the front-facing people that often are, for lack of a better way of putting it, the poster people of the opioid crisis, of the addiction and overdose crisis in this province anyway, people on the downtown east side or the downtown core, the people that are living rough and really dealing with, you know, brain injury, trauma due to synthetic drug use, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot, but it's this, it's not when we talk about bedroom communities where people have, you know, construction workers who have then had injuries, then used opioids, then were cut off and then went to street drugs and then their tainted drug supply. This is not that group that we're talking about here.
Okay.
President Premier Eby is trying to stop playing whack-a-mole and try and fix all of it and start with the most urgent group that are using like resources. I was shocked by some of the numbers, George. Like there was one individual on the downtown east side who had been admitted to emergency with side effects of addiction issues or toxic drugs 180 times in the last year. 180 times, one person.
How is he still alive, or she? Like, seriously.
Well, this is it. They referenced as a he. This new program, I guess this was kind of patient zero, and I'm certainly not quoting this, but this is what I took away from the premier's discussion this morning, is that this individual was then assigned, whether it's called a caseworker or a support person or an advocate, I'm not sure what it was. It went from 180 to zero, right? This person has a brain injury. They have no way of caring for themselves. They have no way to support themselves. They, you know, they're just reusing.
They need to be babysat, basically.
Well, but you don't want to, you know, force incarceration or force treatment, which some people are like, just throw them into treatment. Well, there are more treatment beds. There's 200 more treatment beds, but this just in, there aren't enough staff to take care of the people in those places. And like, it's a shit show. And so trying something different seems to be what's happening next. So Dr. Vigo is going to be assisting in the provincial health office specific to.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What was that thing you sent? Well, restaurants can't, BC. You sent me an email and I was reading.
Oh, that's really interesting today too. Remember that thing?
Somebody who was dedicated to an industry.
I did that thing with the BCRFA. Like I moderated a panel discussion because Ian Tostenson of the BCRFA, the president and CEO there, was so frustrated with how many different points of contact the restaurant industry had with the provincial government, that there was so much who's talking to who, nobody knows, duplication, so many hours of work being done just to say, this is what we need, please help us, that he laid it out in menu form and really pushed it in front of government in a way that was very almost tongue-in-cheek consumable. Mm-hmm. And I guess it really paid off because now there is one singular point person, Lana Popham, who will be the point of contact for the restaurant industry in BC to say, why do we pay this much for our patios and then this much also for our patios? And then we have a permit for our patios. And then we also have to ask the municipal government for our patios. And then we have to talk about transport.
Alcohol licenses. Oh,
right. Like, how about we just have one thing? And if we checked all the boxes last year, how about we don't go through the process again? If we're doing exactly this, like those types of things. So, and Lana Popham is very invested and knowledgeable in that as formerly agriculture minister and now tourism and arts minister. So
it's good. I think having a contact, if you're lobbying and need a voice in the legislature, to obviously that industry is, it's a good test for other potential industries and issues. So if you can, because that's the challenge, having done some government relations and dealing with provincial government, you know, and having been a politician, you don't know who to talk to. Totally. Although I worry that you might feel like you get railroaded and sometimes like, what am I going to get nowhere? Cause what if you get a weak person, that's your point of contact and they don't do anything for you, but she's a fairly good minister. So we'll see. Obviously she hasn't got a lot of time before the election to solve the issue, and restaurants are in dire straits right now. I think that, you know, back to your point about the interest rates in the real estate industry, I think the two are closely combined as far as how do we be confident about spending money again. I think people aren't spending money on real estate, they're not spending money on restaurants, they're not, and I know inflation is one thing, but there's a lot of people sitting on a lot of cash that are just kind of like, I don't know, let's just wait and see, and those people with that money are hurting, certainly the restaurant industry. Please go out to a restaurant. Please.
But it's interesting though, like the whole point of raising interest rates is to slow spending, right? Because that's the thing in the economy that you're like, why are you punishing us? You know, going to the grocery store and it being, you know, $150 for one bag of groceries. I actually went to the grocery store a couple of days ago to stock up on some necessities. It had been a while since I had COVID. You're feeling better? You're over your COVID?
Yes, I never actually tested positive, just to note, which is interesting. Quinn and I, Amanda did. She's still pretty sick, but I got sick for the weekend, but then I slept for 24 hours and then boop, I woke up. I'm like, I'm all better. I don't know. COVID, that's a thing with COVID, right? It's like, it's a mystery.
It is.
Everybody gets it differently. And you know,
well, I'm back, baby. I'm back. It felt really crappy for 2 solid weeks, 5 days that I barely remember. And then another week of sort of feeling low.
I'm
in the grocery store and I'm shopping around and I'm, you know, I did walk by the $4 cucumber grown in BC. I was like, okay, I guess I don't need cucumbers in my house today. And then I was surprised at some of the deals. Is it? Yeah.
Pretty much.
I know. Maybe that's where they get us, eh? It's the kids, the little kids, carrots and cucumbers.
Carrots, you know, cucumbers, guaranteed.
Snap peas. Yeah. Really expensive. Yeah. No? Yeah. But I got out of the grocery store with like one of those huge hauler grocery bags and a secondary paper bag, because I had to buy one, for $150. And I thought, wait a minute, that's new. That's different.
Yeah.
You know, it feels like it's starting to just a little bit. You know?
I think Amanda discovered $1.49 days at Save-On.
Yeah, that's big.
You got to go at 7 a.m. though to shop. So her and Rob, our friend, I'm like, bye, have fun at 7 a.m. shopping at the grocery store. No thanks. But man, she came back with 4 bags of things of bacon for $1.49 each.
I mean, that's where it really pays off. Bacon. I'm like, sour cream for $1? I will take that humongous thing of sour cream for $1.
Bacon's my kind of vegetable.
Two more things I want to talk to you about. I mean, we're talking about Dr. Henry. Did you see them people coming for Dr. Henry on Twitter yesterday?
Well, this is all, I don't know what's, yeah. So Dr. Henry, as well as this BC United, and I don't get it. I don't get why this is even, why are we even talking about COVID anymore? I don't get it.
Because it's a wedge issue to rally the base of people that are anti-science, anti-vax, freedom, you know, it's a, how do we keep you guys mad? How do we do that? And I'm really disappointed in the politicians that I believe to be more level-headed than that, who are now leaning into it in the name of, well, this is what's going to work to get me the position that I want. I think you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah. Well, we've got, and okay, for, let's talk about BC United and Ellen Osterko, right? So
yeah,
she jumped ship from BC United to their star candidate
yeah.
that they brought, got in during a by-election. She's jumped ship to Conservatives. I don't understand in the riding that she's in how she's going to win with either of the party, to be honest. I think that riding is totally, it's NDP. I don't see it flipping. It might, but certainly won't flip if there's a Conservative in BC United. But I do have a theory about what's going on right now.
Okay, tell me.
And I do think it's disappointing with what Eleanor Sturker is doing and hypocrisy. And I think it's opportunistic politics. And I hate that stuff. I'm sorry. Having been a politician, I don't believe in populism and opportunism in politics. Of course, you take advantage of opportunities, but to be so blatantly hypocritical, I don't get it. I don't get it. And especially when you probably aren't going to win because of it. Anyways, so you know that I made that, I told you a few weeks ago about there was that negotiation happening with the Conservatives and the BC United.
Yeah.
As you know, it fell apart. Or did it? Or did
dun,
it?
Dun, dun, dun.
I think maybe it kind of fell apart, or maybe they decided, well, let's see what happens. Falcons obviously laid down the hard things, and you got to choose. You can't be in half in. We're going into election mode, and he knows how to campaign. Campaign starts really September 1st. So you got 2 months, basically 3 months till hardcore campaigning starts. He's getting rid of the dead weight that just aren't there 100%. I didn't know Lauren Dirksen, the other one who flipped. That was not a surprise. He's a federal, probably a federal conservative. He's an old friend of mine. I'm not surprised by that one. And he was in a situation. He's put in his 4 years. He's good. He's a really good MLA. He's probably a federal conservative. He's in a place that he knew if the conservative did run, they would both lose. The NDP would win. He's made a decision based on his. So, okay, fine. That makes sense. He's probably going to win now. That'll stay conservative. But here's my theory. Is okay, so nobody's going to run against Lauren Dirksen up there now. Like, if you did, you're not going to have the level of, you're not going to be able to beat Lauren Dirksen if you're a BC United. Just not. No. So they'll win up there. The Conservatives will win. How about Michael Lee's riding? Are the Conservatives really going to run somebody in Michael Lee's riding and think they can win? Probably not going to happen, right? So Michael Lee will win BC United. Same with Kevin Falcon. Same with, you know, you look at the, take these, peg these ridings off one by one and think about, okay, and how are these people popping off now and leaving and separating? The coalition has begun already that I believe is happening.
Right.
It's happening organically, sure. But it's happening. And so they are looking at the province and they're going, either they're making it through common sense, like maybe Lauren's going, this is going to happen. And if he wins and there's a, he'll be happy to work with BC United. And
you mean like supply and confidence agreement, kind of like the Greens and the.
Exactly. Exactly. And I predict that's where we're heading.
Bookmark this. Put that in the title. Bookmark this. Because I think that's genius.
Yeah, I think it's happening. It's happening kind of organically, but I do think it's also happening strategically. Maybe they didn't do it. You know, it's just not a public deal where they announce it, because that would look bad. That would look like, well, then you're not, neither of you are committed. So now, you know.
But there are huge swaths of people who, as even with the BC conservatives being as popular in the polls as they are right now, huge swaths of people that would have perhaps voted BC United that won't just shift over. Because the whole big tent party, I mean, Eleanor Sturco, I interviewed her immediately after her announcement, and I'm like, straight to it. The reason why people couldn't reach you over the weekend is you were renewing your vows with your wife, you know, out of the country, you know. And how do you square that circle with the homophobic members of the BC Conservative Party? And she's like, well, you know, I'm not going to agree with everybody. And then she went in and attacked Soji. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I didn't have time to fight with her. We did that up against the clock thing, drives me crazy on radio, but I was just like, really?
And then she politically, I mean, she shows you how I think she's really naive. And you meet a lot of these in politics, and I work with a lot of politicians now through my campaign university thing. And there's a lot of people, they're naive. They don't understand how it works. And she if she looked at the riding, she could have chosen another riding that she, with the conservatives, that she probably would win in. She decided, for, because she lives in that riding, whatever.
Cloverdale.
John Cooper choosing the riding he lives in. John, run in Yaletown, you'll win. Yeah. Run against Christine Boyle, you're not going to win. I don't get it. So
I did see my first attack ad. And it plays like a movie trailer. Have you seen this one? You usually see everything before I do. It plays like a movie trailer, the sequel to Christy Clark. John Rustad of the BC Conservatives and Kevin Falcon of BC United. They're just Christy Clark's liberals in different form. And nobody wants
like a
that.
Promotion, actually.
Oh, it was, and it does like, it's got like the PG whatever sort of, it's very well done. I actually rewound and went, hold on a second.
Yeah, send me that. I love this. Yeah, I haven't seen it because, you know, that's,
it was,
I would love to get my hands on some campaign advertising and get to work on it because I saw some of the BC United ones and I'm like,
No, those were,
let me add it.
Standing in an empty apartment.
What are you doing?
No. Two last things. 80th anniversary of D-Day.
Yes.
Lest we forget. My goodness. If you don't know what that's all about, please take a moment and do some reading. Because Canadians were the first on the beach. The Canadians were the first up the hill. And 359 Canadians died on that one day. The one day that ended World War II. That saved freaking humanity from Hitler. You know? We got to fight for democracy, George. Anyway, you sent me a thing.
I know.
That it. So a little bit of fake news. You gave me some fake news.
I shared some fake news, but I didn't share it publicly, just to you.
With me.
Because I was going to a meeting. I thought, what the hell is this? And then you verified that it was not real. This is what we got to be careful. So this is a Biden at the ceremony in France. Yeah. And there's two.
I'll read what it said, what you sent me, because I was like, what? It says, breaking. Jill Biden just pulled Joe out of Normandy event. Macron staying behind with the veterans. What's going on? I'm like, okay. So I click on that post going, what is going on? And why didn't I hear it? And then there's footage of Dr. Jill Biden, you know, holding hands with her husband and walking. You can just watch the backs of them. And then, you know, someone trotting out after them. And then the camera pans back and there's Emmanuel Macron, the president, you know, saying hi to people and running around and do it, shaking hands and whatnot. And I'm like, okay. But at the bottom of this, you'll see it says proposed community notes.
Yeah. Huh?
That's a really good tool on Twitter. Mm-hmm. You hit that and it says, actually, no. Sometimes the community notes are erroneous and sometimes they're right and you get to rate them and whatever.
Right.
But I always make a point going there. And so I went to the community notes and it's like, this is not true because look at this is the link of the actual event and the event had ended and they were walking out. So I watched the last 10 minutes of the event where they literally announced, we're going to play this song and then we're going to do taps. Then we'll have a moment of silence. And then the, you know, the honored guests will exit. End of. Like 100%. That's part of the ceremony. Yep. So be careful.
Yes. As our show is called Unspun, this is the kind of scary spin and scary misinformation. Fake, you know, they call it fake news, but it's even like with AI, it's not even real news sometimes. It's deep fakes.
Yeah. And it's easily tricked for sure. And so I don't, when I found out that it wasn't what you had thought it might be, I didn't go like, George, how dare you? It was like, oh, dude, oh my God, I checked. And we need to check on each other and support one another.
I was
and
running like, you got it wrong. You got to check this because I'm like, what is this? This is crazy. Because it showed up several times in my feed. And I'm like, what? And I didn't have any time to. And so that's the thing. Get somebody else. What do you think of this? Not share it. Before you share it, verify it.
Especially if it seems outrageous. Yeah. Okay. That's it. That's all the time we got. Where are we finding you? At George
_Affleck,
at George _Affleck. I'm at Jody Vance, Jody with a Y, at Jody Vance on your social media. We're everywhere all the time. Like, subscribe, share, comment. See ya.